Buying or selling a home can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Heritage Realty makes buying and selling easy. With Heritage Realty, you get local market expertise, one-on-one service, and the support of a network of agents across the area. Heritage Realty cares about the details and goes above and beyond to deliver the service you need. Knowledge is power. Trust Heritage Realty to buy or sell your home. For the newest listings and detailed market reports, visit heritagerealtyknox.com. Heritage Realty, where today's technology meets traditional customer service.
Playoff football. Listen, Monday we were crowning our first champion since 1980 when the Georgia Bulldogs knocked off Alabama. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. He's Will West on location. My name is Tyler Ivins. And then what do you get? Well, your consolation prize is just some lazy wild card football. Let's be real. Everybody's getting hyped up for this weekend. You're going to get matchups that begin as early as Saturday afternoon. It's going to carry you all the way through Monday night. So for those of you who are wanting to sit back, two games Saturday, Will West, three on Sunday. You get the Monday night cross game. I should say the wraparound game's better said. I got to get used to this Monday playoff football action. I think from the get-go, Will, I'm looking at it being brought to the table and it's being served piping hot. And I'm like, well, maybe I should try it before it gets cold. Right now, it just seems really weird to talk about playoff football on a Monday. But why do I have a feeling when it's all said and done, we're going to love this just like everything else? It seems like the NFL rolls out. You know, the whole don't hate it till you try it. I have a feeling come Monday night, I'm going to try it. And I'm going to love every ounce of what's going to be Arizona, Los Angeles.
If you look at these games, really the only one, like, again, Bengals haven't won a playoff game since they beat the Raiders when Bo Jackson was playing.
Right.
Bills, Patriots. No, you know, round three, weather's going to be terrible. That should be incredible during prime time. Sunday, Eagles, Buccaneers, Tom Brady, whatever. It's fine. It's Steelers, Chiefs, Big Ben, his last hurrah going up against the defending two-time defending AFC champs. And then Cardinals, Rams, round three, and what should just be a heavyweight fight, a ton of points. The only game that doesn't have probably great storylines to it is the game that's going to pull the highest number. And that's going to be Dallas against San Francisco because of those two big brand names between, you know, with the Niners and the Cowboys. So this is, look, I didn't like the idea of moving to the 17-game season. I didn't like the idea of moving to the, the 7-game playoff. But it's been spectacular. And you're right. The NFL can hand us whatever they want to, and we'll eat it, and it'll be delicious every single time.
What's the game that, I mean, look, I want to go day by day here quickly. Saturday, what's more of kind of a grab? You're going to sit down and watch both games, all right? Sunday, you're going to watch all three games. Monday, you'll be front and center for the LA game. But Saturday, I'm going to be honest, I know it's Buffalo, New England, and it's kind of what will Mac Jones do his first game in that snow globe up at New Era Field. Man, I really believe Las Vegas, Cincinnati can give you the same punch that Buffalo, New England can. I really do believe that. I mean, you have it's going to be 28 degrees at kickoff Saturday afternoon up at Paul Brown Stadium, and then you're going to turn back around and you're going to give us a 4-degree night that's going to be with windshield below freezing in the Buffalo game. I want all this cold football, man.
You know, I agree with you. I think Bengals Raiders is going to be the better game. There just aren't storylines, right? You don't have the same storylines because not a lot of upcoming stars with the Bengals, but it's still the Bengals, right? The Raiders really just don't have a lot of stars, even though I think Derek Carr this year might be the most underrated. No, Aaron Donald's always the most underrated player in football.
Yeah.
But Derek Carr might be the most underrated offensive player in football this year. But that'll be the better game. Just the other game's Bills Patriots. A part of that's because it might be an ugly one up there with the terrible weather that they have. But no, I think Bengals Raiders is going to be the better game between the two.
Are we doing a disservice automatically? I guess not eliminating Las Vegas, but kind of counting them out before kickoff. I mean, you have Cincinnati -4.5. You believe the Bengals win this game. Will, their last loss, they got embarrassed in Kansas City 48-9. Then what did they do? They rattled off four games in a row, which included victories in Indianapolis that kind of helped set the stage for the Colts collapse. And then we already know what happened that Sunday night game number, whatever, 100, whatever the total is, Sunday night football. It was the best game of the year, and I'm going to be real, not to hype up the segment, it might have been one of the best football games I've ever seen in my life. Las Vegas won four in a row. Their coach was just getting them to the finish line, and now there's a good chance he might have kept the job and removed the interim tag because of what the Raiders have done the last 4 weeks.
And one ugly, too, until that last game, right? Those other three games, that was a concern for me. And playoff football, at some point in time, you're going to have to win ugly. And so for them to win, that they beat the Browns, whether they beat the Broncos, whether they beat the Colts, to be able to get to, I mean, do you remember everybody was laughing at the Colts about losing to the Raiders in that one. And then ends up the Raiders end up getting the playoff squad, but nobody thought there was a chance they're going to do it. And then you're right. You get to that Raiders Chargers game, which was absolutely buck wild. So They've shown that they can win an ugly game, and that's something you're going to have to do, especially if you're a wild card team in the playoffs. So you're right. We probably aren't giving Vegas nearly enough of an opportunity to win this game. I just think it's going to be too much. And that rush defense is too good for Cincinnati. And that's something that again, people just aren't paying enough attention to, is that's the top, number four rush defense in the NFL.
Yep.
So you're going to make Derek Carr have to become one dimensional. And I just don't think if you're in a shootout with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, unless you're Kansas City, good luck in the AFC.
Let's just go ahead and do a little bit of elephant earring when we come back to this Tampa Bay Philadelphia game. Will, they met earlier this year, the Eagles and the Buccaneers did. That was a Thursday night game. It's going to be much different this go around because this showdown is going to be in Tampa Bay, and the conditions, not cold, but rain and wind are going to be, it's actually forced this total down to around 46. Again, I'm not making this a gambling thing, but sometimes the desert numbers tell us the storyline we should be focusing on. And the focus is, yeah, weather's going to play a difference in this game between Tampa Bay and Philadelphia. It's going to be very windy, and a lot of people are wondering, can Jalen Hurts keep up with Tampa Bay in this matchup to give the Eagles kind of a second chance alive.
Do you think that, is it tougher for them or easier for them against Tampa Bay? Because I can't help but wonder, is this maybe, I don't want to, look, they're not going to win the game, I don't believe. Yep. But is that advantage Eagles a little bit, that the weather's going to be ugly? Because if all things being equal and we're just going to go out and play football, and the Eagles can't win. They need something to kind of, some type of variable in it. And maybe that weather can be the variable that gives them a chance against Tampa Bay this weekend.
See, no, I go the other side on this. Tampa Bay's got the best rush defense in all of the National Football League. And if it's windy, if it's rainy, they're going to have to keep it on the ground and try to muck things up. And I think Tampa Bay's just going to leave them in a puddle for four quarters.
I also think Logan Ward's playing running back for Philadelphia this weekend. So congratulations to him.
When
so
do you leave? When do
you're
leave
right for, as far as the rush defense.
When do you leave for Tampa?
I fly out at 9:30.
Oh, yeah?
So I
figured you and Emerson would be on the same flight.
No, I'm too big for him. I have my own police escort on the way to McGee Tyson after the show.
There you go.
Producers of our show, man. They always get the royal treatment. San Francisco, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and even that Arizona-LA Monday night football game. We have still so much this weekend of the wild card weekend. The NFL's calling it Super Wild Card Weekend because why? Because it carries over to Monday to start your work week. The National Football League, they're going to have all the attention this weekend. Tennessee, Kentucky, they're going to steal it for about 2 hours around 1 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have the coverage for you, and we'll give you everything you need to know about the Wildcats and the Vols. Just a quick little trip up 75 North. How many of you are packing up the trucks or heading that direction? We want to hear from you this morning at 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Logan Ward, update time here on the starting lineup. He's Will West. My name is Tyler Ivins, and you're inside 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Last night, the fifth-ranked Lady Vols took down Vanderbilt 65-51. They improved to 5-0 in SEC play. Jordan Horston dropped a double-double for the Lady Vols with 16 points and 13 rebounds. In the NFL, the Houston Texans have fired head coach David Culley after just one season. In college basketball last night, Oregon upset number 3 UCLA 84-81 in overtime. Number 2 Gonzaga took down BYU 110-84. Number 5 USC handled Oregon State 81-71. Number 19 Texas Tech beat Oklahoma State 78-57. Have a little fun with Instant Games. January Instant Games are available now at any TN Lottery retailer, with top prizes ranging from $5,000 up to $500,000. Talking Tennessee and Kentucky coming up next on the starting lineup. 7:12, Pete Michaels traffic's up next. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Just taking a peek at the recent winning streak for Tennessee up at Rupp Arena. Will, last year, Tennessee 82-71. That's a W for them at Rupp Arena. 2020, Tennessee 81-73 at Rupp Arena, a win for the Volunteers. Things didn't go well for them. They got blown out at Rupp Arena in 2019, 86-69. But then you go back to 2018, 61-59. That was that Lamonte Turner game. Big shot by him, as Tennessee has won three of the last four up at Rupp Arena, and they look to continue that success tomorrow. 1 o'clock tip off. Fall network coverage here on 99.1 begins at 12:30. Will West, Tennessee 2-2 in the conference. It's a top 25 showdown. And even after a 20-point victory Tuesday against Frank Martin's Gamecocks, Volunteer fans are still walking around with just kind of one of those unsettling tastes in their mouths. But you know what? A win against Kentucky in their house, I bet that can change some things quickly here when it comes to the remainder of the 22 schedule.
Yeah, it would. I don't know if you've seen the FBI or the BPI that they do, the Basketball Power Index that right. ESPN does. Kentucky, 69.7% chance of winning this game, according to them. This is a bad matchup for Tennessee, but so was the Arizona game. So I think in this game, Tennessee's going to, it's for very similar reasons. Length on the perimeter and then bigs like crazy. And that's one thing that Kentucky does really, really well. Kentucky has four guys that are 6'7 or better that can play inside really well. They have a legitimate stretch four, which is not something you normally see in college basketball. It's something you see in the NBA. And this guy named Sibue that is just spectacular. He was 29-17 against Georgia. He's a transfer from West Virginia that wasn't even expected to be big of an impact player. Look, Kentucky last year had the worst season Kentucky's had in 100 years. And so John Calipari remade the team this offseason, signed four transfers, signed, I think, four of the top 30 players in high school basketball. And they've remade this team altogether. Still have a couple of guys that have been there for a second, but this is a team that relies on their bigs, and they crush it on the boards. Tennessee's going to have to do something similar to what they did against Arizona, I think, Ivins, in the way that they used John Fulkerson, kind of high post situation, had him facing the basket 15, 17 feet away, and then ran everything in the offense through him. The question is, can they do that right now after Fulkerson struggling a little bit to come back from COVID?
All right, let's look at the last five games for a guy I want to highlight here in Olivia Kumwa. That Arizona game you bring up, that was the John Fulkerson show, so only 2 points in 20 minutes for Kumwa. But then after that, he had to step up when Folky was out with Kennedy Chandler with that positive COVID test. He had 15 and 33 minutes in Tuscaloosa. The overtime game, 13 and 30. The LSU loss, he had 9 and 31. Will, what am I missing? Kumwa only played 10 minutes in that win against South Carolina. I believe this is an Olivia Kumwa game where if anybody's kind of the more consistency subject, I think this is the game where he has an opportunity to absolutely show every inch of 6'8 and be the guy who gets down low and tries to bruise a lot of the Kentucky bigs.
Yeah, he needs opportunities. Now, again, the problem is, are you playing into Kentucky strengths when you do that, right? Because yep. they don't foul either, which is another thing that when you got bigs like that for Kentucky. But you're right. They need something from Kumwa in this game. But what that means is here's the tough part, I think, that people struggle. I keep seeing the criticisms of Fulkerson, criticisms of Kumwa. If the guards don't throw the entry pass to them, it doesn't matter. And I don't know that either one of those dudes have the type of personality that's get me the god dang ball, right? The one thing Grant had going for him, because Grant was a quieter guy as well, was that he had a guy like Admiral that would go say, get Grant the god dang ball. So that's and I don't know if there's that guy on this team. Look, Kentucky's going to try to bait Tennessee's guards in the shooting. I think everybody's going to try to bait Tennessee's guards in the shooting until Tennessee's guards burn them. Or they stop trying to make that the number one thing they do is guard in isolation or two passes on the perimeter and a three-pointer. Tennessee's going to have to prove against Kentucky they can do that. I didn't think they could do it against Arizona, and they did. So can they get away from that? Rick Barnes and his staff are going to have to come up with, I think, Ivins, some type of game plan like that. It doesn't have to be the exact same game plan, but they've got to do something different than they've been doing the last four games, or they're going to get ran out of Rupp Arena, quite frankly, against a really good Kentucky team.
Can this be the launching pad game for Tennessee? And what I mean by that, Will, is I'm just looking ahead at the schedule, and I do a really good job of going into different websites and different kind of cheat sheets, if you will, and looking at projected lines. I'll rely on my guy as well, Tyler Wyatt. Shout out to him. Him and I, it's kind of just what we do. It's in our DNA when it comes to numbers and desert and future stuff. Besides tomorrow, and I'm really anxious to see what the spread's going to be or what the projection's going to be when they go to Austin, Texas at the end of the month for the SEC Big 12 Challenge, there's a good chance that tomorrow's game at Rupp Arena will be the last time Tennessee goes into a game as an underdog. So if you win at Rupp Arena tomorrow, Will, there's a very real chance. Yes, even the rematch with LSU later this month here in Knoxville, the showdown with Florida here in Knoxville, the matchup against Kentucky back here in Knoxville. There's a real chance, Will, that tomorrow's the last time Tennessee will be an underdog going to a game. Now, that doesn't mean squat for 40 minutes when they play, but if you can get this game at Rupp Arena, man, not only does it make the current situation a lot better, but when people start projecting Tennessee come Tampa in the SEC tournament, come March Madness in the NCAA tournament, man, things could get a little bit more softer and the noise can maybe quiet down a little bit less or not be as loud if you can get this win tomorrow at Rupp Arena.
Well, February is going to be a lot easier for Tennessee. It's a matter of getting, to me, I look at it this way. This five game stretch Tennessee's in right now is going to be a swing for what Tennessee basketball is. Are they a team that's, you know, an eight seed? Are they in the 8-9 game? Maybe even in the 10 seed in a 10-7 situation or something like that? Or is Tennessee a team that can be in that 4-5 line somewhere in that on that S curve? This game to me is just a measuring stick game because I think Kentucky's playing awfully good basketball right now, and LSU showed you. This is how you beat Kentucky. You deny the entry pass and you give those guards a chance to shoot. If Tennessee can deny the entry pass and give those guards the chance to shoot, I think that can be a very good thing. Look, my concern with Tennessee is not the ability in the single game. My concern for Tennessee is the consistency. Do they have the mental discipline to do the things that they need to do consistently, or do they want to go do the things that they want to do? And let's be honest with you, with each other. Everybody in life has that problem, right? Like I have that when it comes to my diet.
Yeah.
We all have it when it comes to our jobs this is what I want to do, but this is the thing I need to be doing. We all have that. And Tennessee basketball has it as well on their young people, and that's part of it. But I think what this game can do is maybe galvanize if they can follow a game plan Rick Barnes gives them. And Rick Barnes can say, Arizona game, Kentucky game, if you guys do what we're telling you, it pays off and it pays dividends for you. So don't fall into these old bad habits that you have. Stay disciplined, stay mentally strong and focused, and really good things can happen for you. And that can lead to you having a nice little run in this last five games of January. And then from there, man, February is so much easier, and Tennessee could end up walking in, you know, looking at a 2 or 3 seed possibly, depending on how they handle that.
He's at Will West WNML on Twitter. I'm at Tyler Ivins and at TSL 99.1. We're halfway home on your Friday morning. Hi, good Friday morning to you. Yes, we are coming to you live from the Budweiser Studios, Old Kingston Pike, top floor. Lots of NFL playoff chat to get to. Also, Star Pitch Cut, I'm telling you, next 90 minutes belongs to you. 656-9900 on the starting lineup here on The Animal. Hey, Will West, can I napalm the show? I know usually you're the one who controls all the master controls and napalming the show. You're the one who does all that crypto stuff, so I need you to explain something to me quickly.
Okay.
Is it a big deal that Tesla's now accepting Dogecoin?
No, it's nothing. Dogecoin's not. It's that just makes me think Elon's got a little bit of a Doge that he needs to drive up the price for. It's just not going to happen again.
Go ahead.
Doge is, it's done from what I understand. I will tell you, you want to talk about wasted opportunities?
Yeah.
I bought Doge 2 Decembers ago for like half a penny, right?
Okay.
I held it until it got to 6 cents, and then I was like, this is never going to, it's been sitting at 6 cents forever. I'm going to go and sell it as 10 times my money. Within 3 weeks, it went up to almost 70 cents.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I had 12,000 of them. So.
Will, why didn't you take your trip to the moon?
I have no idea, because I was just like, it's fine, and I ended up moving it into another coin. So that was, I needed to wait until the new tax year to be able to sell it anyway. So it was fine. So, but we actually, I don't know if you have you seen this candy thing that Peyton Manning's doing?
I'm sorry, come again?
Candy is the name of it. Hey, I was just talking to Logan about it. I've got in a couple of NFTs with Candy. Your boy Josh Ward showed me all about that stuff back
like
in November.
C-A-N-D-Y?
Yes. So Candy's Major League Baseball store goes open tomorrow with NFTs. And what they'll do is sell sports-related and Major League Baseball-related NFTs. And Peyton Manning is one of the big supporters of it, and the influencer that's in the kind of as a sports influencer involved, and also an investor in it. It's him.
Okay.
It's that guy Gary V. Do you know who Gary V is?
Of course,
it does
So
it's him, Gary V. Major League Baseball, Fanatics is involved as well, and their store goes live tomorrow. I've got a couple of them. One was $50, one was $75 that I paid. And it looks like the low end tomorrow, the expectation from people is that it's going to be $475 to resell your NFT. So something you bought in November for $50 will be $475 tomorrow.
Logan Ward is staring at me through the glass right now. Like, how am I not involved in this? And why am I so far behind? You guys, sell me on this and I'll jump on the bandwagon.
Digital, it's a digital football card, a baseball card. That's what you're buying. And that sounds like one of the things I have is a digital jersey. That sounds like the stupidest thing in the entire world.
It kind of does, but also sounds kind of awesome. And I think I kind of want to be on this bandwagon.
So if you can, yeah, tomorrow. So that'll go live tomorrow, and Peyton Manning is going to make a ton of money when that happens. Not that Peyton Manning needs a ton of money, but Peyton Manning is going to make so much money off of NFTs.
So I'm not in on this, you know, crypto space or, you know, the NFT stuff, but Will was just explaining to me everything. And I'm like, well, if he can turn $50 into, you know, almost $500 like it's nothing, why am I not doing this?
Yeah, I will say this with crypto, there's a lot of that, but there's also volatility. Now, the problem is people get emotional too. And I was telling Logan, I was like, I will never buy it. I think Josh has, but I will never buy an NFT on the secondary market. But like, there's this other one that I'm in that's called Vivi that has an app that Disney's done with, like, it's like fanboy stuff like Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, Marvel, DC, and they do NFTs. I have money in that account, but every Thursday morning they drop a new NFT and a digital comic book and stuff like that they'll do. And within half a second, 6,000 of the 6,000 they have or 2,500 they have, whatever they're allotting that day, within half a second, they're all sold out. So because you can go from $50 to $475, and compared to some NFTs, that's nothing. There's some that have $250 in June, in November went for $16,000. So, I mean, it's just stupid how much money is involved in all this. And to me, that makes me think at some point everybody's going to take a bloodbath on it. But Peyton's about to get real rich tomorrow. Like, he's already rich. Peyton's going to go from rich to wealthy based off of NFTs, I believe.
We need a sports animal NFT. Like, I want to purchase the picture of Jimmy Himes gumbo as an NFT. Why can I not do that?
I want the video of Jimmy Himes dancing at Josh Ward's wedding as an NFT as well. So I would, we would make a ton of money off of that.
I want to go ahead and just completely show my sleeves behind the blackjack table here. There's nothing up here, and this is 100% authentic. I have no idea what any of this is about. I've tried following along the last 4 minutes. It sounds so awesome, but I'm having difficulties grasping and wrapping my head around the concept of crypto and mining and like
NFTs.
Yeah.
Do you know what an NFT is?
Yeah. It's like non-fungible. What is it? I don't even know what that acronym is.
Non-fungible token. So it's like, usually it's just an image, like a picture, a digital picture, and, or virtually like a JPEG that you would look at, that is that you have the ownership rights to, and they put it on what's called a blockchain. And Ethereum's the one most of them are on, but they're minting them on Solana and other ones like that right now. So a lot of what I'm trying to invest in right now is the other ones that they're trying to mint them on, because every time you move from one wallet to another on the blockchain, it costs money. It costs gas money is what they call it.
Got it.
The amount of money for the energy to move it from one wallet to another wallet, it could be $50 to $100. You know what I mean?
Okay. So that's where they make the money. Got it.
Well, that's why people buy Ethereum is, you know what I mean? Because that can be I don't want to go too deep into it, because you do a thing called staking, and then that's a whole thing, and you make passive income off of it. It's insane. Really, here's what you're doing. You're buying a digital picture that there's a thing called the blockchain that gives you proof of ownership. So it's like a baseball card, and you have one of 6,000 or 2,500 or some of them 50 or some of them one of one. And then there are these 16, 17-year-olds becoming millionaires since it was nothing in May. And then in June, it became a thing. And then by November, it exploded. And in 2022, you're going to see everybody do this. And Peyton Manning's one of them. He's going to make a lot, like, I mean, 8-9 figures off of NFTs because of being an early investor in candy.
So people just listened to that last segment and they said, look at Will West.
Or maybe they didn't listen to the last segment.
No. They listened to the last segment and they said, Will West is taking care of the future for his family, and he is making smart business decisions, and he is just months away from just owning this whole building and every frequency and every tower in this building. And then I make a ride with Ivan's pick and everyone's like, this degenerate over here doesn't know what he's doing. So you're making smart financial decisions. I'm over here, and they're just like, this guy's throwing pizza money around just so he can make entertainment bucks.
There was a guy I grew up with that he tried to get me to buy Bitcoin when it was $800. And I was like, that's the stupidest thing in the world. Why would I buy fake digital currency for $800? There's no way that I'm going to do that. He just retired last year. We went to elementary school together.
Uh-oh.
He's 44.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, Will, you know, they always say, Michael Gary Scott Wayne Gretzky once said that, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take or something like that, yep. Opportunities, attempts, something to that nature. What I will say to you is, that being said, I'm going to give you the best 90 minutes of radio that you have ever heard on this station. And when you own this station with
all
your crypto.
We'll sell the audio. We'll sell the MP3 as an NFT and see if we can. Peyton Manning will give us money for it.
I, you know what? If I would think this is an episode of Ashton Kutcher's Punked if I did not see you in the office constantly making money and buying beachfront properties as much as you are. Like, people don't know that you're like a secret, absolute, just like soon-to-be millionaire. And I just want an opportunity.
I don't know about all that, but I appreciate it. It's for your mouth to God's ears. But I will say this, though. It's a lot of people think it's too late to get into it because 70% of investors in crypto and digital currencies and NFTs got involved last year. Only 4% of the population has done it. So there's still a lot of money to be made right now.
I'll make you a deal. I will continue to give Riding with Ivan's picks if you continue to do digital with Will West. We'll just make a new segment at the beginning of the show, middle of the show, and you're just going to start talking about different things to buy. How about that? And then all of a sudden we're the money show.
Not financial advice is what we'll see. You have to say that ahead of time so you don't get sued.
Exactly. See, we have to get a disclaimer that's put in there as well. 740. Ivins and Will West, the day our ratings book comes out, and I just want to say, and I'm the idiot who came in here and started talking about Dogecoin and everything, so I apologize for that. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Are we going to see Big Ben Roethlisberger play in his final game Sunday night in Arrowhead? The easy answer is yes. But it's been one heck of a week for the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. Not only that, but there's other big matchups to take a peek at as well. If it's not Kansas City, Pittsburgh, what about the old rivalry renewed between Dallas and San Francisco? There are going to be 6 wild card weekend playoff games, and you're going to be tuned in every single one of them right here on AM 990. Yes, shouts to our partners over at Westwood One. If you want wild card weekend football, no better place to find it than right here on The Sports Animal.
The fifth-ranked Lady of Vols took down Vanderbilt last night 65-51. They improved to 5-0 in SEC play. Jordan Horston led the Lady Vols with 16 points and 13 rebounds in college basketball. Number 13, Wisconsin, took down number 16, Ohio State, 78-68. Number 20, Seton Hall, fell to DePaul, 96-92. Oregon upset number 3, UCLA, 84-81. In the NFL, the Houston Texans have fired head coach David Culley. After just 1 year, the Texans went 4-13. This season, the Tennessee Lottery is proud to raise more than $6 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com. Talking wild card weekend in the NFL, the NFL playoffs get going tomorrow. We'll discuss that on the starting lineup coming up next, 7:42. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
All right, good morning, good morning. 7:48, final segment of hour number 2, Rocky Top. You know where you are. You look for number one, you found number one. This is the starting lineup. Tyler Ivins, Will West, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We go from number one to number 7. His name is Big Ben Roethlisberger, who had to go to overtime last week, Will West. Let's just start there, because this is something that I don't think a lot of people realized at the time, because they were too busy just all engulfed of what is week 17. I just made a mistake. Week 18 at the National Football League. Will, there were 3 games that went to overtime in Week 18 of the National Football League. And the best part about all the games that went to overtime, they all had playoff implications, and the winner of those games got into the playoffs. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, overtime. Steelers won, they got into the playoffs. Hey, the Niners and Rams went to overtime. Niners win, Niners got into the playoffs. And then finally, we know the last game of the year, the Raiders bested the Chargers in overtime. It's Vegas in the playoffs. It's the first time ever, Will West, that we've had 3 games go to overtime with all of the playoffs still hanging in the balance and all teams punched their ticket to get in. So hold that nugget for future reference.
And look, we're sitting at, what, we have 6 games for this weekend. Only 2 of them are more than a touchdown favorite in it as well. So let me ask you this, I guess, at the beginning. Look, when they talked about 17-game season, 7 teams in the playoff from each conference,
right.
I think all of us looked at this, rolled our eyes, and said, you greedy, you so-and-sos, this is just a money grab. And it was. And it was just a money grab. But is it also not actually, like, this, is it going to end up being good for the game? Because
yes.
I don't know if I've been this excited about a playoffs in a really long time, and that was absolutely the best final week of the season that I have ever seen.
I remember the last decade two of my favorite sports did something, and I said to myself, well, this is going to be dumb. The one-game wild card playoff in Major League Baseball. There's no way this is going to be fantastic or exciting. I love every second of it. Is it kind of ridiculous that you play 162 and then it's one game sends you home? Well, you had 162 to be better than just getting into the one-game wild card. Leave it as it is. I think it's fantastic. The National Football League then comes to the podium and goes, we've got an idea. Not only are we going to remove the two seed from getting a week off, we're going to make them play in the wild card round, and we're going to allow a seventh team to get into the playoff. Boring, stupid, why are you doing that? Mea culpa. It's pretty freaking awesome, and I'm ready for six playoff games this weekend.
Give me the okay, one must-see game. What game is the must-see above all else, regardless of what you're doing?
Come on.
And by the way, again, if you're out and about this weekend, we have every playoff game on our station and the Tennessee-Kentucky game. So not bad whatsoever for a weekend for us. But if there's one game that you have to watch, what's the one must-see game?
A lot of points scored. That's why I had it one of my two-the-window picks. Give me the 4:30 CBS window, 9:90 a.m. the Sports Animal window. Niners going to Arlington to take on Dak and the boys. Okay. I got to see it.
So that's the one?
Tap me in, man. IV, hook it up to my vein and give me all four quarters of Niners, Cowboys, 90s rivalry vibes, all that noise.
I think Monday's game is the one that I think is the most must-see game, and that's going to be tough because, you know, it's going to be 11:30 on Monday night before we have to wake up at 4 at the latest, so that's going to not be easy. But I think as far as the other games – man, I think Raiders-Bengals can be a really good game, and that's the one that's probably the least sexy, but I think that can be a really, really, really nice game. I have concerns about Jimmy Garoppolo's hand if he's going to go score 40 points. Now, man, Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo have proven people wrong over and over and over again. Remember when he was on the hot seat? So not anymore. He's not on the hot seat, but so that could be a good one, and it's going to be the one, the Niners-Cowboys, that has the highest ratings, because those are two just massive brands that bring a ton of eyeballs.
Okay, so what's going to be the kind of like food's food, cold pizza, still pizza game? Like there's six playoff games. Is it the Tampa Philly Eagles game?
Yeah,
because I feel Bucks like we Eagles haven't touched it at all this morning, but it's still there, Tampa Philly.
Yeah, it's which kind of makes me a little scared for it. But the problem is it's Tom Brady. It's Gronk. It's probably the best offensive line in football. And so when you put all of those things together, I just have a tough time believing that Philadelphia is going to win that game. Chiefs-Steelers is interesting, even though it could be the most lopsided of these games. You know, it was 26 points just, 3 weeks ago when they played?
Yeah.
It could be lopsided, but Big Ben, final farewell in Pittsburgh, that whole thing, Tomlin doing everything he did to get his team into the playoffs was incredible. I'd never say never when it comes to Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Five of these six matchups this weekend, Will, are rematches from the regular season. You got a problem with that?
Nope, not at all. I actually love a couple of them for that reason, right? The Patriots-Bills round three. The first one was terrible weather, and the Patriots get the win with one pass attempt thrown during that game. The second one was, okay, normal game, and the Bills get that win. And then let's see what round three has. And then Cardinals-Rams was magnificent. And so you already have Cliff Kingsbury talking smack this week ahead of time against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey in that defense, saying that Kyler Murray is going to have the game of his life this week. They brought in Matthew Stafford exactly for this reason, right? Mm-hmm. They leveraged their future of drafts for Jalen Ramsey, for Matthew Stafford, for exactly this reason the Rams did. If they go out early, goodness, there are going to be a lot of people saying, you did this for what? You could have done this with Jared Goff.
Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Big Ben Roethlisberger goes to Baltimore last week. They win in overtime, and at the time, he wasn't sure that he had gotten into the postseason. And then we see how things play out with the Colts, and then it's, oh my goodness, I'm in the postseason, but there can't be a tie. And if you kind of read the tea leaves from his interview with Bill Cowher last weekend, Big Ben's done. There is none of this, I'm going to leave Pittsburgh and go play somewhere for a $20 million, $22 million one last year contract to kind of pad my checking account. He's done. He's going to retire a Steeler. Everything's going to be fine after the end of this year. You're Big Ben. You're sitting on the couch at the house, and you're watching the drama unfold between Las Vegas and Los Angeles last week. You don't even know if your season's going to or your career's going to continue, and you're sitting on the couch Sunday night. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting ready for a playoff game against Kansas City. There's absolutely no way Pittsburgh goes into Arrowhead and knocks off the Chiefs, right? Can we just get that on the table? Let's talk about it and move on. I don't even know if there's a 1% chance it happens. But this is a team that now has a healthy TJ Watt And Will, I don't believe that the Steelers are going to fumble the ball five times and have that many turnovers this go around, despite what happened 3 weeks ago at Arrowhead.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to turn the ball over that many times either. So does that, what does that do? Cut the score in half? There's 26 points last time. That puts it right around 13, which is where the line is. Could they cover? Yes. Are they going to win? I have a hard time believing they're going to win against Kansas City. Kansas City, it's amazing the turnaround they had, but Andy Reid had to do it Bill Belichick style, right? And Jimmy Johnson style, which is we've been really good for a few years. People come and pick off our some of our players.
Right.
And also they had to rebuild that offensive line because of age and injuries. And so it took 4 weeks to get the offense, 5 weeks to get the offensive line going. It took longer than that to get the back seven figured out, especially in the red zone defensively. But gracious, they figured it out, and it looks like they're the team to beat the AFC again. I have a hard time believing that Pittsburgh is going to beat them, but you're right. This is it for Ben Roethlisberger and Tomlin and together, and it'll be very, very, very interesting to see what that response is like and how that goes. I love that Ben Roethlisberger is not going to try to keep doing it. And if you remember, like, I don't know who's going to offer him that much of a chance with what he's looked like physically this year. Do you remember Peyton? Peyton did Denver on a dirt cheap deal just to prove he still had it because people were doubting him physically. I don't know if Roethlisberger has that. I need to prove the haters wrong. I don't know if he has that in him the way that Peyton did. And I don't know that he feels like he needs to do that right now. So you're right. I mean, this is it. So it's lose and you're done, win and you get to keep going. But to win, you get to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, and good luck with that.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Final 60 minutes from your Friday TSL. It begins on the other side. So good luck to Pittsburgh knocking off Kansas City. How far do we have the Chiefs going? By chance, do we even see a rematch of last year's Super Bowl? Is it a slam dunk Kansas City-Tampa Bay? What do Aaron Rodgers have to say? And why aren't we giving the Tennessee Titans any love as the one seed in the AFC? People on Twitter are just mad this morning. We'll explain more on the other side. Why we don't have the Titans going that far. And if we're wrong, please explain why. 656-9900. Final hour of TSL. It's on the way next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft. Presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.